Broadcasting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
Hi, Danielle. It's Ben Crenshaw.
Hey, Ben. Okay, first the forecast, and you can tell me if you want to go out and play a round of golf. Partly sunny skies, a lot of rain, mainly windward, scattered on the leeward side. The highs, 80 degrees, some places higher elevations, about 75. The winds breezy, 15 to 25, with gusts to 45 miles per hour. The high today, of course, between 75 and 80. Tonight's low, another great sleeping night, 62 to 67 degrees. And we're going to have a great show for you this morning because we have a number of wonderful people calling in, including Bob Herrig, ESPN senior writer. He's over at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Matt Rollins, executive director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. And Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer for Golf Week. Wes Wailahua, executive director, CEO, Aloha Section PGA. And Alex Myers is going to kick it off, senior editor, Golf Digest. And, of course, his Tuesday column is The Grind. We'll be with Alex right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
Streaming worldwide from sunny Hawaii, it's Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. Brought to you by these fine sponsors. Bayview Golf Course, the best value in golf in beautiful Kaneohe. Dr. Carlson Spine and Pain Clinic in Kailua. MD Restoration, floods, broken water pipes, 24/7 cleanup. And RCM Construction for concrete spalling repairs.
Now let's bring in senior writer, Golf Digest magazine, Alex Myers. And Alex Myers writes one of my favorite golfdigest.com columns. It's called The Grind. It's all about the social media of the game, kind of off the wall, the week in review, but on a different kind of, welcome into the clubhouse, Alex.
Thank you so much, Danielle, and you're too kind. And I want to say, you always have such great guests, but, man, what a loaded week, and I'm honored to be kicking it off because you got some real heavy hitters coming after me. So thanks for having me on. I hope everything's going well for you.
Yeah, you know, part of the grind, it is going well for me, and I thank you very much. I hope you're doing well. Stay safe. But
thanks.
Are you buying Laura Davies this coming up on Tuesday? He's got the buy-sell section, you know, who he's going to buy, who he's going to sell. Are you buying Laura Davies? She made the cut easily.
Well, then I will have to because that's 2 weeks in a row then with incredible cut-making in the women's game. Obviously, Annika Sorenstam last week, and she retires for more than a dozen years, and she just rolls out of bed, literally, because she lives there, and she makes the cut against the best players in the world. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
So Laura Davies, I didn't know. I wasn't aware of that actually yet, so, but that's fantastic news. Big fan of hers, obviously. She just keeps on going, keeps on rolling. Just, you know, it just shows you, Danielle, the great players, the greatness never leaves. You know, they might not be able to do it consistently, but it's still in there, and they're still able to do it from time to time, and it's pretty neat to see.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And Laura Davies is also an auto racing fan. Kind of tells you a little bit about her, you know, about what drives her. No pun intended. Okay, and I really don't want to sell Ricky Fowler. He made the cut, but he's having such a hard time. What are we going to do for Ricky?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. These things keep popping up. You know, last week was the first World Golf Championship that Ricky Fowler hadn't been in since 2010, which was his first full year as a pro. And if he doesn't do anything in the next couple of weeks, he's not going to make the Masters for the first time in a decade. So it's kind of crazy how far he's fallen. You know, Jordan Spieth kind of gets all the attention, and certainly he's struggled as well. They're both, you know, in that boat of, man, what's going to happen? We keep waiting for them to turn it around. The good thing is, Danielle, as we know, these guys have such long careers. Ricky Fowler is still younger than when Phil Mickelson won his first major. So wow. He's still got time. You know, that's the good thing. And Jordan Spieth's obviously even younger than him. So, yeah, you know, again, I'm not writing him off yet, but it is kind of weird when you don't see both of those guys in a field like last week at the World Golf Championship. Obviously, Jordan Spieth will be in the Masters because he's won a green jacket, but it'll be weird seeing Ricky Fowler, who's had success at Augusta, not being in there if he's not able to qualify.
Yeah. Now, did he change his swing? What's brought all this on?
No, I mean, you know, he hasn't. I mean, if anything, you know, his big retool of his swing under Butch Harmon came years ago, and it produced great results. I mean, you know, Ricky Fowler was a guy that, I forgot exactly who it was at the time, but we were talking about the big four in golf, and people were putting Fowler in that category. And, you know, I don't know. It's just, you know, Nick Faldo obviously took a little jab at him this past week for all the commercials he's in and whatnot. I wouldn't blame that necessarily, but, you know, you got to wonder how motivated he is. Maybe you go through a little bit of a lull, and now maybe maybe you need to kind of be humbled to then get that motivation back. Because, again, the flip side of having a long career is, man, it's tough to stay really motivated that entire time as well. You know, there aren't too many Tiger Woods who can just keep that motivation all the way ratcheted up at the top. So maybe he needs to miss a Masters or something like that to really get him going again. But, no, his swing is fine. He's obviously a great putter. I think he just needs to get that fire again.
Yeah. Well, you got $40 million in your bank account, you know? I mean,
exactly.
You're not worried about eating or paying the rent anymore. So,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's a different era, Danielle. I mean, you know, that's a lot of the older people, when they, you know, I don't know if they're criticizing the younger player, but they kind of say, hey, these guys have it a lot easier than the older guys. And, you know, you sometimes wonder about the motivation. I mean, I saw something the other day. Forgot what it was. I think it was guys who finish in the top 10 on the money list now, and this has been adjusted for today's money versus like 30, 40 years ago. They make 18 times that. So I'm not just talking about, like, you know, obviously today's dollars are higher than, you know, 30 years ago.
Sure.
They then take that and they compare to what the median income is. The top golfers now are making so much more. I mean, if you can rack up a few top tens every year, you're making a really more comfortable living than the best players 30, 40 years ago were making. So, yeah, I mean, it definitely can happen. And then a guy like Ricky Fowler with all the endorsements and everything else, sure, he's doing pretty well. no matter what his scorecard says.
Yes, exactly. That's why when you hear the journeyman, you know, the journeyman golfer on the tour, it's the guy who's comfortable making, you know, top 20s,
right.
top 30s, because
right.
The money's good, and he's not going to find right. a job better than the money he's making on the tour, even though he's not winning, you know, and he's comfortable
right.
in his position. That makes total sense. Comfortable in his position, Bryson DeChambeau was not. I thought it was so funny taunting everybody about hitting it to the green on number 6. And isn't that a par 5 over water?
Yeah, it's crazy. You know, it's one of those boomerang holes, obviously, that goes all the way around the water. And if, you know, if we're playing, it's one of those scary holes because obviously you have like the water on every shot that you have to worry about. But people have started to realize, man, if you kind of aim straight across, you know, and just cut the, you know, if you think of it like a circle and you're going right across the diameter of the circle, you know, you might be able to get it there. And actually, Golf Digest did a really fun video a few years ago. I believe it was with Justin James. Anyway, he was one of the world long drive champs, and he took a few cracks at this, and he used the different tee boxes, and he was able to do it. I think he made eagle. He got up, you know, he hit it across. I think he maybe went onto the fringe. He got up and down for an eagle. I think it's about a 340, 350 carry. Now, you need the wind because, obviously, Bryson took a couple cracks in the practice round, didn't make it, but you could see the wind was really into him. But yeah, so far in the tournament, though, he's been a little gun-shy. He hasn't quite gone for it. And meanwhile, Rory is actually taking some pretty bold lines on that tee. But we still got the weekend, Danielle, and you never know. Maybe if he's trailing by a few shots on Sunday and he needs to really get something going, maybe we'll see him take a crack at it. So I don't think, obviously, that's not what the Arnold Palmer had in mind with that hole, that people would ever take, you know, go on that line, but certainly Bryson, nobody really expected someone like Bryson to come along either.
Let's hope the wind just completely stops so he gets his chance.
Exactly.
He's the one who brought it up. Let's go back to last week. Amazing Colin Morikawa, by the way, who plays his irons, in my opinion, more like Tiger Woods than anyone on the tour. He's just amazing. Wins the WGC Workday Championship. Of course, you know, honors Tiger Woods. And Phil Mickelson, goes out and buys a red shirt to honor Tiger, but he can't find a red shirt. The only red shirt he can find is one that has the rival University of Arizona on it, and he's wearing it. I mean, that was amazing.
That was classic, Phil. And obviously, you know, this was a few days after everything had kind of settled down a little. You know, of course, we're thinking of Tiger. We hope he can make a speedy recovery. We're just glad he's alive, though, obviously. But, you know, by Sunday, a lot of players, and obviously on the LPGA, you saw some players as well, including Annika Sorensen, wear the red. And yes, Phil, I love how he has five major championship trophies, but he has zero red shirts, according to him. He doesn't own a red shirt. It's kind of funny. And so he goes out to the pro shop, and that's all he could find. And he covered it up, and I'm sure that didn't make it back to his closet. He probably burned that thing right after the round. But he kind of joked, man, look, Tiger, I'm going all out for you. So, you know, I'm sure Tiger obviously responded that he appreciated all the nice gestures, but I'm sure the Phil one stuck out. And you're right, Morikawa, he wasn't wearing red because a shipment got delayed.
Yeah.
He was going to. But you're right. I mean, the display that he put on, it was Tiger-esque. He is just clinical with those irons. And it's a reason why he's become so consistent. You know, the putter has really held him back, but now he's made this switch to the claw grip. If he can putt better, I mean, look out, because we already saw what he could do with his other putting grip, winning the PGA Championship, winning a couple events early. I looked this up, Danielle. He won five times in 48 events as a collegian. He's now won four times in 39 events on the PGA Tour. So he's got the same winning percentage at the highest level than he did at college. I mean, that is just incredible. And it's because the iron play is so good, so consistent. He's always giving himself looks. It just comes down to a week where he makes a few. He's going to be right there. Great, great looking young player.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. And he's got the smile, the demeanor.
Yep.
There's
yep.
so much about him that is comfortable to watch. He's excited. There's just, you know, there's something about him that says, it's the je ne sais quoi about a person that, you know, stands out. It's not quite what Tiger had, you know, that, you know, you had to watch Tiger. You know, it's like, it's just.
Right.
But, Alex, how strange was it to have the grind come out? You come out every Tuesday with your column.
Yeah.
And that was the day, that morning, that Tiger Woods.
Oh, man.
Right?
Yeah. And,
I mean, it was surreal. I was like, my first thought was, no, he's had so much happen to him, and he's finally, you know, my mind is screaming that it can't be as we look at the wreckage rolling down the embankment. And like you said, we're just lucky he's alive, the bottom line.
We really are. I mean, when you saw when they first started showing, you know, we hear about it, and we're like, oh, my God, and we don't know what's going on. And I'm like, I'm asking people who I work with who are, you know, a little better connected, do they know anything? And, you know, I'm not even trying to get details. I'm just like, can you tell me he's alive at least? And, you know, at first no one could even say that for sure. I mean, that was what was so scary about it because, you know, he had to go into this really long surgery, or these operations right away. And, you know, again, yes, thankfully he is alive. Have to see how long it takes for a rehab like this, but you're right. When it came out, it was just shocking. I just finished up the grind. I don't know what I would have done if it had come out during it. I mean, I was a mess. I mean, it really was tough to see those images, especially, and to hear and to worry about his status. And I mean, again, just thankfully in those next few days, we got a little more update. Heard, you know, he's alert, he can talk, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Right.
Doing better. He sent out the thank you to everybody else. It was great to get those updates because, you know, sometimes we don't get updates from Tiger, but it was great to hear that he's doing better. But you're right, Danielle, that day was just shocking. And I mean, you know, it's just almost a year from when Kobe Bryant, the helicopter accident, and you just, these things just happen and you're like, it's stunning. And
yes,
it can happen to anyone, anywhere. Really scary, but again, thankfully he's okay and he's with his kids and everything else. So we wish him the best.
You know what I find interesting? We do wish him the best, and it was numbing that day. But, you know, as days go on and we kind of get removed, we want to keep the story. I don't say we like me or you. I'm saying the collective, right? And so now we've got this story that the man first on scene who heard the crash says he found Tiger Woods unconscious. Well, the sheriff say he was awake and answered questions.
Right.
And I'm like, well, duh, you know, when you've been in a crash, you're probably unconscious. But then given a few minutes, the sheriffs didn't just immaterialize.
Right.
We're not Star Wars, you know, whatever that was, Star Trek, right? You don't materialize.
Right.
It takes a while for them to get on scene. By that time, he probably did come to. So I'm wondering, what's the big deal? Why are we making this something?
Yeah.
You know,
I agree, Danielle. I mean, you're right. These details are going to come out. You know, obviously there's an investigation and everything else, but you're right. That made sense to me as well. I was actually surprised when the sheriff said that he was conscious when they first talked to him, because I would have assumed, like you, he would have, after a wreck like that, he wouldn't be. But you hear that this guy came along and found him, and luckily he did, because obviously, the quicker they got him attention and got him out of there and got him to the hospital, the better for, you know, his injuries and everything else. So, thankfully that happened. I'm the thing that I've learned in the last couple of days, I don't know about you, Danielle, is that there's a black box in cars now.
Yes, yes.
And like with airplanes, and they've now obtained that black box. I'm wondering, do I have one in my car? I mean, what's it recording? Is it recording me singing in the car? What is going on here? So I don't know what they're going to find out there, but I had no idea that even existed. So we'll have to wait. That'll probably be the next development, I'm sure, when we find out what's on that black box.
Absolutely. It'll probably tell us the speed he was going, the radius of the tires turning, you know, at what point did they lose?
Yeah,
all of that specific on what the machine itself was doing. I think you can sing in the car. It's going to be okay.
But Daniel, let me just say, how crazy is it that, and I know Tiger had a statement against the documentary, which was based on the book that he had problems with as well. That whole documentary comes out and it gets, you know, a lot of attention, because we're just fascinated with Tiger, and we have been obviously for 25 years or so. But you know, it ends with him kind of this comeback and this triumphant comeback, and he wins the Masters. And now, what, a month later, this happens. It just his whole life and his career is just fascinating. I mean, it's just one dramatic act after another. It's really crazy. So, I mean, people are gonna have to redo another documentary about him in a few years, and hopefully it's got another even more triumphant ending, but we'll just have to see.
Yes. Alex Meyer, senior writer, Golf Digest magazine. It's called The Grind, and you'll find it, follow Alex Meyer's. Give me your Twitter handle again.
Alex Meyers 3.
That's it. And it's MYERS. So you'll find him there. You can always see. And then, of course, you just go to golfdigest.com and you'll find his column there as well. Thanks for being on the show. Fun talking with you.
So much fun, Danielle. Thanks for having me on. Take care.
You too. Aloha. Just want to let you know, I got this message. All Honolulu bound lanes on the Pali are closed before Wau Kanaka because of a tree that's down. Coming up, Wes Wailahua, Aloha Section PGA Executive Director, Vice President of the Aloha State Chapter of the Club Management Association of America as well. We're going to talk with him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club. After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU 2200i generators for $999.
All fuel, oil, and lines, 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale, the month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
What's worse than living with constant pain, not doing anything about it? Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
What does your company sell? Do you provide a service, fill a need, sell insurance or real estate that must have new car? Become a sponsor of Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club Radio Show. We reach a pure target audience of business owners. Let us help you. We have affordable rates. It's easy to do. Email Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running their business. Rick at RadioGolfClub.com or call Rick at 808-220-1000.
Got my new book, Three Tips to Play Better Golf. Practice, practice, practice. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
Let's bring Wes Wailahua into the clubhouse. Aloha Section PGA CEO and Executive Director, President of the Aloha State Chapter of the Club Management Association of America. Hi, Wes.
Danielle, aloha. Good morning. How are you?
Good. It's a rather nice day to stay in bed.
Yes. You know, I might agree with you on that one today.
Yes, yes. With the winds to 45 miles an hour, what club do you choose? You know, something really low to the ground.
Yeah, you know, but there are, I've seen a couple golfers headed out there. I'm actually at one of the courses today checking on some things, and people are playing, and I think that's always great, you know. Little liquid Hawaiian sunshine is nothing compared to what we're experiencing in the mainland right now. So,
absolutely. Great. Couldn't agree with you more. You know, I love going out on the golf course when it's dry, not dry. It can be wet, but not raining. And then if it starts raining when I'm on the course, I'm a happy camper. It's okay. But I going out when it's already raining, that, you know, it's like, what am I going to, what am I doing? I'm not a duck.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a typical golfer hoping and promising for sunshine at the end of the rainbow there. So,
that's right. That's right.
There's nothing wrong with being optimistic.
Yeah. Okay. So we're in tier three and we're close to tier four if we keep our infection rate numbers as low as they've been lately. Now, tier three, what are the changes that golfers can expect to see on the course?
You know, the biggest changes in working with tier three, and I think everybody in the industry needs to keep in mind, tier three was written back in September and October and received Mayor Caldwell's approval at the time, as well as the state's approval to be a part of the Honolulu tier system that he had designed. And our goal at the time was really on the economics of the business and trying to open up inventory for the golf courses. I think we've all seen, especially on Oahu, or specifically for Oahu, a surge and increase in players. And the 8-minute tee time intervals and the 10-minute tee time intervals really put pressure on some of the courses to have enough inventory to meet the demand of players, which I think has been great. So 6 minutes, I think, is, you know, it's hard to imagine many courses operating at 6 minutes, but the municipals in the county of Honolulu operate at 6 minutes, and that's a huge advantage because they had had to stop standby tee times and their wait lists and everything else due to COVID to limit the gatherings of people waiting around. And now I think at 6 minutes, it frees up more inventory, especially for them, to kind of have access to the community for people to get out and play and exercise with golf. The other aspect of phase three really is on the charitable side. In the last year, many of our nonprofits that weren't eligible for PPP, you know, weren't able to have fundraiser events. Or if they did, they were very more of a truncated type of event where they couldn't really raise money necessary for their foundations. So now under phase three, a lot of them can have group sizes up to 160 for shotgun tournaments. Now, for a non-golfer, you would think, well, 160 players altogether in one area is a lot of golfers.
Uh-huh.
But when you think about it, at foursomes from 7 in the morning to 12 o'clock on a full golf course, that's about 180 players or more. So 160, we felt at the time, was a very good compromise to have an impactful field that will benefit the nonprofit or whatever the foundation or fundraiser was for, and at the same time bring enough revenue back to the facility that would be hosting it instead of just doing it for 100 players. Which was what the maximum capacity was under phase 2.5.
So
those are the biggest changes, I think, for us for phase three.
So, but this is the first time under the tier system that we've been allowed to do a tournament, a charity tournament.
For charity tournaments this size, yes. We have run a few that I've worked really close with the facilities on. We've gotten creative, you know, double tee starts, which was approved under 2.5, still within the 8-minute intervals, and they were able to max out at 140 players. Really, the only time you want to do a shotgun is if you need everybody to get in for a banquet post-event, right?
Right.
So with not having those large banquets and gatherings with the restaurant restrictions, really the shotgun was more irrelevant, we found, that we were recommending single tee starts with the mentos and everything else to help, you know, raise money. Now, the other component, like you mentioned, with tournaments, this kind of opens up a little bit bigger opportunity for a lot of our junior golf associations and even with high school golf to try to encourage those sports to come back. Now, I know there's some confusion about sports in general, but when we look at golf, golf is really an individual contactless sport. It's not like basketball or baseball or football where they're sharing the same ball or equipment per se. You know, it really is an individual sport that has pulled together their team's score as a team. So we're pretty excited about that, and we have been working alongside the Hawaii State Junior Golf and the Hawaii State Golf Association to come up with our competition playbook that will help some of the Neighbor Island Junior Golf Associations as well as the other operators kind of help manage a tournament in a very COVID safe and friendly way.
Oh, that's excellent. Okay, so I want to go back to, so if we do shotguns and we need to get them in for banquets, are we going to have places where people are eating, or are we still doing bentos? Just to make it perfectly clear, anyone listening thinking about doing a shotgun.
Absolutely. I think it would really have to depend, Danielle, on whatever the current county guidelines are. Okay. In our phase three, we are not obviously restaurant experts, so we defer to the other industries for guidance. And I think currently under Honolulu's county, I mean, it really depends on the capacity of the size of the facility and how many people they can accommodate. It also really depends, too, Danielle, and we learned this early on in the development of these guidelines at a national level when we, in the onset of COVID-19, but really, as there are a not large number of people that want to get out there and play, there's also a huge demographic of our golfing industry that still is a little bit more reserved and concerned about going out there, especially those that haven't been vaccinated yet. So we've advised a lot of the facilities to obviously be respectful of both sides. Some may not be comfortable. Some may be comfortable with close proximity. So I think that's why in our phase three guidelines, you didn't see us putting back the approval to remove flags or putting rakes back on the golf course. I think there needs to be a process about it, and we're trying to be respectful to everybody that may have feelings either for or against, you know, being able to have other contact points available for the game.
Excellent. Now, you bring up a really important question about kids in sports. And I just got word from one of the high schools that, you know, everybody can get back in and sign up for a sport in high schools. So I think we're getting to the point where we're feeling ready to do that. I'm not sure what level it is because I haven't read all the literature. I just got the notification. So, but we also in golf have a team sport that the PGA of America created, the junior leagues, right? The junior and the PGA junior leagues are happening on the mainland. Are we starting up in Hawaii yet?
Yes, we are. And to backtrack a little bit, you know, I think, you know, I've been coaching for Kamehameha Schools now, Kapalama, for the last 20-something years, and we are moving forward with ILH Golf at a varsity level, and that will be starting next week. So I'm excited to have that, especially for the seniors that are graduating. But our PGA programs from PGA Junior League, as well as Drive, Chip, and Putt, all those programs our board has approved and greenlit to happen this year. So I know that the coaches for our PGA Junior League have been in conversation with our staff to set up their schedules. They are live on the website. Registration is open for PGA Junior League as well as Drive, Chip, and Putt registration. The board is still moving forward with qualifiers on local qualifiers on every island and our sub-regional that will be here in Honolulu in July. And, you know, we're expecting hopefully a full return to golf, you know, before summer. That's our plan. I think there's a lot of people that have supported the industry for years that needs to kind of get back to some kind of normalcy. And I can tell you it will look and feel significantly different. We have approved in partnership with Mid-Pacific Country Club the return of Mid-Pac Open, which was postponed from last year. And yesterday, the ladies division announced the return of the Jenny K tournament for May. I will say that, you know, many people think that maybe a little premature to do something like this, but I will assure you that all of these are being done under some very strict COVID guidelines and procedures that we share with the PGA Tour when our tour had our events here in the island. So, you know, it will be, I think, a very safe environment, not just for the players, but also for the staff and the members and everybody that's involved in the facility.
So with Mid-Pac, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'll be doing my show from the Mid-Pac Country Club, Mid-Pacific Country Club, for the Mid-Pac Open, and I'm looking forward to that. But will there be, like, for the Jenny K, there's the big banquet afterwards? You know, we all get together, and there's entertainment, yeah. And we're all sitting real close, and we're all laughing and singing and having a grand time. I don't imagine we'll be quite ready for that.
You know, I can't speak specifically to that. That might be something that their current chairman can speak about.
Right.
I know
okay.
that we had discussed, you know, I mean, that in itself, Danielle, as you know, is the essence of the tournament and the reason why a lot of those ladies get together every mm-hmm. single year. But like I mentioned earlier, you know, for both events, it will be a more truncated type of event. Our Mid-Pac Open field is reduced down to 160 players. Our Pro-Am is reduced down to 100 players. Their pros will not be playing in the program this year, which will be a little bit different for our sponsors, partly because we felt that if a professional plays with an amateur on Wednesday, a professional could be around for four more days, and that could be, you know, a contamination for the tournament. So there's every single aspect is being looked at to ensure public health and safety, and we've assured that of everybody that is involved in all of our stakeholders for the event. So we are pretty confident about moving forward and trying to help restart the industry for Hawaii.
That's awesome. I got to ask you, you know, the Hawaii State Open was about to, you know, happen again, and then COVID happened. Do you still have that on your back burner?
It is, Danielle. And, you know, we've been very respectful to a lot of our sponsors that are directly tied to the tourism and hospitality industry. You know, without their support, a lot of what we do as a nonprofit would never happen. And I say that because both of our businesses are nonprofits, our tournament and our foundation. So we rely on their support. And, you know, even if we do have contracts, it's for me, it's not the local style to collect when people are down. And our job right now is to ensure that our sponsors can return to come back and help and support our communities here in the islands. And that, to me, is a huge priority. And we've been working on that for the last year, and I'm hoping we can continue to look forward to a strong end in 2021.
Okay, great. And one other question. I know since the Pearl Country Club is under new management, it's sold out almost every weekend. And I was just curious, has anybody found a managing agent for the Volcano Golf Course? It was such a popular destination.
You know, I'm very glad the Kamehameha Schools is partnering in these projects as the landowner. I know it makes it a little bit different, I think, for many of the other operators that are on KS property, but I do think Pearl Country Club is going to do very well. Ed Kagiyama is there. He's doing a great job in managing and being creative to include the community. You know, Volcano, really, I think the future of Volcano really depends on how it ties in and the community support. But I hope conversations continue and hopefully we'll be successful in having that golf course, because I think every course across the state impacts our communities in a very significant way, from fundraisers to baby luau parties to Mother's Day events and graduation parties. So they're a huge part of our communities on every island.
Awesome. Well said. This is Wes Wailahua, Aloha Section PGA, CEO, Executive Director, and the President of the Aloha State Chapter of the Club Management Association of America. Thank you for being on the show, as always.
Mahalo, Danielle. Have a great weekend.
You too. Aloha. We're coming back. Beth Ann Nichols, Senior Writer, Golf Week Magazine, is coming up next.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the golf club.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
What's worse than living with constant pain? Not doing anything about it. Back, neck, hip, knee, all things chronic pain. Who do I see? Dr. Jonathan Carlson at Hawaii Pain and Spine Clinic on Oahu, where the Aloha spirit meets innovation and patient care. Dr. Carlson is a double board certified pain specialist. Call 452-1379 now. Don't spend another hour in pain. Go to hawaiipain.com for more information. Call 452-1379, 452-1379 for an appointment at Hawaii Pain and Spine. Reclaim your life with Dr. Carlson.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction, 864-9520 now.
All right, first off, Pali Highway is open again. That tree's been cleared out of the way. So Pali by Wau Kanaka, all clear. And would you like to win a Divx 2.5 and an aqua brush together? Mm-hmm. Like last week? Yeah, I bet you would. The number is 845-1111. Ninth caller, 845-1111.
Want more customers?
Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade.
Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company. Buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few hundred dollars. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Our listeners are consumers, too.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
I have to correct. Our number is 545-1111. 545-1111. 545-1111. Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Aloha.
It's
good to be back.
It's good to have you back. And you know, before we talk about the Korda sisters and all the great things that are happening, Jennifer Kupcho, and I want to talk. We always talk about DeChambeau and long DeChambeau and power DeChambeau. And I hear that tied for six right now is Patty Tavatanakit. Did I say her name right?
Close. Tavatanakit.
Yes.
She is a bomber.
She's a bomber. How long is she?
Well, actually, I haven't looked at her her stats right now to tell you where she ranks. I mean, this is only the second event of the year for her, but but she was bombing it last week at Lake Nona, just some crazy good drive. So you know, I would love to see what she's like up against, you know, fellow rookie Bianca Tagdanan to see how they would do. Side by side. That'd be fun.
It would be fun. Long and strong. That's awesome. The two sisters, though, they are definitely, I mean, how long has it been since the Solheim sisters, they won back-to-back championships, and now we've got Jessica and Nelly winning back-to-back championships, and just and then playing yesterday together. That must have been incredible expectations that were placed on their shoulders.
You know, absolutely. It's been 20 years since Annika and her sister Charlotta went back to back. And amazingly, this week was the first time that the Korda sisters have ever been paired together on the LPGA in the first two rounds. So it's about time. Jessica said it felt like they were sort of in a fishbowl. But you know, I mean, they're happy to be together. I mean, I think the number one thing to say about the Korda sisters is that they're each other's biggest fans. They just support each other in every way possible.
And that's beautiful, because when Jessica was on the tour, didn't she say, wait until my younger sister gets here?
Absolutely. I mean, she's always loved to brag about Nelly, you know, since her rookie year, you know, how good Nelly would be and already was, you know, and it's hard to tell, you know, if Jessica, she might be more excited and more proud when, you know, when Nelly wins than when she wins herself. You know, I think there's, you know, she just says such a good big sister to her, you know, there's a protectiveness there too.
Yeah, and that is the, you know, wonderful big sister with little sister. Some people think that Nelly Korda is the best golfer on the LPGA. Maybe one person said maybe on all the tours with her scoring average of 66.7. Do you think so?
You know, I mean, I definitely think Nelly Korda has all the talent in the world, but Jin-Young Ko right now, I mean, this is the first, she missed the cut this week. It's her first missed cut since 2018. So, you know, it's kind of hard to disregard, you know, Jin-Young Ko and what she's done, especially in the majors. You know, and Nelly Korda hasn't won a big title yet, you know? And so, yes, she certainly, you know, you feel like there's a ton of potential there, but Jin-Young Ko has it right now.
I've got to interject really quickly. We have a correction from HPD. All the Honolulu-bound lanes on the Pali are still closed by Wau Kanaka. All right. Sorry about that. But, you know, people listening on the radio, driving, getting to the Pali golf course, coming into town, they need to know. All right. Jennifer Kupcho, she's right at the top of the leaderboard, doing exactly what we kind of expected her to do much earlier in her LPGA career. She's always been there, but not quite there. What's great about her?
You know, I'm fascinated by Jennifer Kupcho's ability to play through, you know, extraordinary circumstances. We saw her win the Augusta National Women's Amateur while battling a severe migraine, and the same thing happened this week. She, you know, midway through the first round had a debilitating migraine that she set on a scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being the worst. It was a 10. And, you know, she couldn't see to the left. She had numbness in her left hand and still went out and shot 67. So, she's tough. I think we can definitely say that about her, both mentally and physically. And, you know, she she gave Danielle Coe, you know, quite a run at the Evian as a rookie. You know, last year she came down the stretch against Mel Reed, at the ShopRite. So she's been in contention, just hasn't quite gotten into that winner's circle yet. She said that over the off season she worked a lot on her patience, trying to get her anger and her frustration out right away and then move on quickly. And that's been key for her this week. And given, I don't know if you can hear the rain, it's pouring rain here. It's going to be a severe test of patience today.
A severe test it is. I have migraines. And when you lose sight in one eye and you feel like you'd like to put a knife in your brain just to make it go away and you can't feel anything in your fingers, I don't know how she does that. Frankly, that's
I don't either. She relies on her caddy heavily to trust, you know, lines and putts, and it's remarkable.
Yes, it is. It is. This is a Solheim Cup year and an Olympics year, and I imagine all the players are getting ready for, you know, the Solheim Cup and the Olympics, where all the players on this international tour get to get ready to represent their country. And of course we're representing ours and the Europeans on the Solheim Cup. This is a lot of pressure in addition to just wanting to do well on the tour.
Oh, no question about it. And you know, we've been talking about the Cordas and Jennifer Kupcho. You know, of course, I think we're all expecting Jennifer, you know, to be a rookie on the Solheim Cup team this year. Of course, you have to be ranked in the top 15 in order to have four players from a country, you know, compete in the Olympics. And you know, some Koreans will be left off the team that will be ranked inside the top 15. They have so many, but it would be quite a remarkable feat if the U.S. is able to send four players as well. So it'll be interesting to see if Jessica Korda can perhaps join her sister in Japan, or if maybe Kupcho moves up in the rankings and seals the spot. You know, right now, Danielle Kang, Nelly, and Lexi Thompson are inside the top 15. So there's a lot to follow when it comes to American golf this year.
Yeah, there is a lot to follow. And speaking of American golf this year, we seem to be doing so much better. And in part, I believe, I mean, where's NB Park? Is she coming back soon?
Yeah, you know, I'm assuming that NB will be, you know, in California at the Kia and the ANA. She usually gets warmed up for the year out in Las Vegas. And so, you know, I assume Soyeon Yoo will be back then as well. You know, quite a few Korean players haven't made it back yet. So, yeah, it's a good time to get in that winner's circle right now and take advantage while you can.
Yeah, exactly. And build your confidence, you know, and build.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And get those reps in where you feel like you're really on top of it, as long as you don't overdo it. This is an incredible schedule this year with all the drive-ons added. What Mike Wan's done for this tour, you know, gives you pause when you think about the way he is with people. We're going to need someone who's such a people person to maintain and build on his success. Are you hearing anything about the possibilities? What's the talk?
Yeah, I mean, I heard that the, like, 250 people applied for the job or showed an interest. So I don't, you know, it's you can probably tear that list down pretty quick. But the, you know, I think there's he's made it an attractive position to come to because the LPGA is in such a good place. I will tell you that I was talking to some other folks that have been around the industry for a long time, and I said I feel kind of bad that I don't have, like, one person in my mind that seems like the obvious choice. And this person said, don't feel bad, I feel the same way. You know, I mean, and we didn't know who Mike Wan was when he took over. You know, we're all Googling, you know, a man that, you know, we thought was Asian. Turned out it was Mick Wan, and somewhere along the way they dropped the Mick. So he's actually Scottish. So, you know, I mean, it'll be really fascinating to see the direction the tour goes. I will say that since Mike Wan has already been announced as the USGA CEO, it seems like the timeline might be pushed a little bit on the LPGA. to name a sex commissioner. So it'll be interesting. But you're right. It's all about relationships. You know, the fact that the LPGA was able to come through that pandemic and maintain all of its sponsorships. Everyone who wasn't able to host a tournament last year, title sponsor an event, they're on board for this year, and that speaks volumes.
Yeah, it really does. And by the way, you know, I haven't really heard anybody say that the Lotte Championship is absolutely coming to Hawaii. Have you?
I've heard a lot of players talking about playing in Hawaii.
Okay.
So I just assumed that it was all green light.
Yeah, well, no, you know, I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. They would have told us if it wasn't. Are you coming to Hawaii?
Oh, gosh. I wish I could say yes to that. So far...
into this third round, she was quite far up. She was tied for sixth, and she's just out again. She's five shots back of Austin Ernst and Jennifer Kupcho, eight back of Carlotta Chiganda. But isn't she on the Symetra Tour? I mean, this is really an amazing run for her.
Yeah, so she's a Symetra Tour graduate from 2019. And yeah, this is rare air for her right now. She could definitely top her entire career earnings if she, you know, has a good weekend here. It's interesting. I think that two interesting things about the leaderboard right now is that you have a pair of twins on the board, and that Leona McGuire is in the top 10. She has a twin sister, Lisa, who played for Duke, and Jenny has a twin sister, Kristen, who played with her at Colorado and is still on the Symetra Tour now competing. So I just think that that's fun. I love twin sister stories and how they support each other.
Do you have a twin?
I'm an only child, which is probably why I'm fascinated with all the siblings.
and finally, Laura Davies. I mean,
the marvel.
Yes. I mean, what's up with Laura Davies?
Amazing. Yeah, yeah. Amazing. She's 57 years old, and she signed with Callaway Golf, and she told me that when we spoke before she came over from England. Of course, they were in severe lockdown, and so she'd only been able to go, you know, practice a little bit on her course because she could get the keys to the gate. But coming, you know, over here, she hadn't actually played with her Callaway clubs yet. And so she played that first week at Nona and struggled with distance control and actually took out those irons and put a completely different set in for this week. You know, has a lot more control over distance, feels really good with them. And she had a bogey-free 69 yesterday to make the cut with ease. And I just think it's phenomenal. You know, I mean, she's just such a great example. Her attitude is such a great example for players, the way she, you know, carries herself and her perspective on things. And, you know, I just think it's her presence out here is so important.
You know, will you be back soon before the Augusta National Women's Amateur?
Back on the radio?
With me. Will you be back here? Well, yeah, on the radio, inside the clubhouse. Yes.
Oh, I would love to. Oh, yeah, that's a big week with the A&A Inspiration. I'll actually be covering both events.
Yes,
so that'll be fun.
That'll be fun. Okay, good. Because some of the top amateurs, you know, we've got Sweden, the United States, of course, a couple of Swedes, Allison Korpuz from Honolulu. It's such an incredible balance of players. I just think it's like the U.S. college golf system is like a feeder tour into the Symetra Tour, into the LPGA Tour. We need to talk more. Thank you so much, Beth Ann Nichols, senior writer, Golf Week magazine.
Thank you. Aloha.
Aloha. Matt Rollins, executive director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, coming up into the clubhouse next. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High-rises, shopping and commercial centers, city and county projects. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. Update your facilities with the next generation of cost-saving products. We're COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. That's 842-1944. Across Hawaii, Seals Electric lights the way.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home? Call MD Restoration, 24-7 Emergency and Disaster Restoration Service. We are totally COVID-compliant. Compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
What do spalling cracks in your cement walls, floors, or ceilings have in common with termites? Both only get worse and more expensive to repair if left alone. What is the answer? RCM Construction. For over 30 years, they have repaired concrete buildings, garages, and decks. Stopped the leaks. Call Richard Malmgren at 808-864-9520. RCM uses state-of-the-art solutions. RCM is COVID safe. Call RCM Construction 864-9520 now.
The golf club tip number 47. When mad about your slice, don't hit the tree with your driver. Break it over your knee.
Now back to the golf club with Danielle Tucker.
No. Don't tell that to the kids. Matt Rollins, Executive Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start with the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, the competitive schedule that you're working out. We're in Tier 3. We're going into Tier 4. We're all getting vaccinated. Yes. It's wonderful.
Yep. Yeah, I hear you. It's been a tough year to know what to do, really, when you're a statewide organization and being separated with islands, basically, has been the biggest challenge. Knowing whether or not we want to run an event where we're asking kids and their parents to travel and to pay for testing and a lot of that has been a huge hurdle. So we're just wrapping up this mixed team four-ball event that we conducted on each of the four major islands, which has been nice for the kids to get out there. Mixed teams, too, which is kind of a fun format and something they don't experience too often. So we're wrapping that up. And then the plan is, we surveyed our membership first, and a majority of the members are ready to get back to some sort of competitive golf, and they're comfortable with that. So we're looking at some preliminary events throughout April and May around the state. And then the plan is to get right back into our regular schedule, starting with the Junior World Championship qualifier at the start of June.
Far
and then
out.
The U.S. Junior qualifiers would happen right after that. And then there's a lot of events kind of right through September, basically, on our schedule where the kids can play and try to qualify for one of our mainland teams or for some of the exemptions into some big national events. So we're excited to get back to it. I think the members are going to be really excited to see a schedule of some kind released and have something positive to look forward to.
That, you know, in July of last year, we were all still hoping to get qualifying for the Michelle Wee West Tournament of Champions, you know, and now here we are, and we're putting a schedule together. Of course, how do I become a member of the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association? Let's say I have I realize that my child is pretty good at this game of golf. We've been playing a lot. How do they become a member?
Yeah, they can easily go to our website, and our website has a lot of information, hsjga.org. And for any kid, really, or any parent, in our resources section, we have a roadmap to junior golf. So the parents can take a look and find out kind of where, or the kid can look and find out where they belong in the game and what resources are there to help them, whether they want to join the first tee, or if they want to join a PGA Junior League team, or if they want to join the island association on the island that they're living, or if they're ready for statewide competition. So that resource will really help point them in the right direction.
That's great. And now, see, when you said first tee is under the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association now. So you have from... we used to say in radio a long time ago that we want to serve everyone from birth to death. And so in a way, you're taking kids from the very beginning of their introduction to the game through the first tee all the way to competitive and moving into collegiate golf. You've got all of that under the Hawaii State Junior Golf Association umbrella.
Well, yes. And first tee is really there as like a key starting point, and they can progress through the various levels, but there are a lot of other associations and programs out there that fill the space in between the two. So there's a lot of people and a lot of organizations that really help drive that. But yeah, the first tee, we had some sessions through February and March. And we had a little over 270 kids go through those sessions with a pretty big wait list as well. So we're looking to open up some new locations in some areas of need. We opened Puakea on Kauai in February, actually. So a really nice thing and needed on Kauai for the development over here. We've got Lelehua is going to be a location on Oahu, and then we're working on West Maui and the Kona side of the Big Island for new locations this year. So I just think it's needed in getting to know these island associations over the years and what we've been doing to promote the game. There's a lot of young kids that are coming to these island associations, and I think they need the support from a developmental program like the First Tee.
So giving the kids an introduction to the game before going to the Oahu Junior Golf Association, Kauai Junior Golf Association, Maui Junior Golf Association, on the Big Island, Hawaii Junior Golf Association. I believe it's just about that simple, and you can probably just Google online, or you can go to hsjga.org, because all of those associations, if you can't travel, if you don't have that kind of capital to travel between islands, or you're not sure that your child is ready for competition, you'll learn competition just on the island of Oahu. And then, or if you're on Kauai, the same, you or Maui or the Big Island, then maybe you'll be ready to do the inter-island, sort of getting ready for that, going from one place to another place to another place on the mainland, and feel how it feels to have to travel and compete, because that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And it's still going to be challenging for a little while. Like if we're... say a child's flying from Kauai to another one of the outer islands, Maui or Big Island, they have to get tested before they go to one of those islands, and then they have to get tested again to come back. And it's likely the junior golfer and their parent. So it's pretty expensive right now to deal with that. So we do see a lot of the kids probably staying on their own island mm-hmm. for the next few months until the travel starts to open up again, and we don't have to deal with a lot of the testing, or if you have the vaccine, then that's recognized for travel as well. So this year is going to be, it's going to be interesting still. We're going to have a lot of hurdles, and a lot of these regulations will likely still be in place at the golf facilities. So it's not going to be the same competitive environment that the kids faced in the past. It's going to look a little bit different.
So do you still have the first tee at Bayview and Hickam?
First tee is at Bayview, Royal Kania, Huakalei, and Alawai on Oahu.
Okay, okay. And you can all find all of this at hsjga.org. And then on Maui, is it Dunes of Maui Lani and Makani Golf Club? They've been added?
Just Dunes at Maui Lani on Maui. And then Nani Loa will be one of our locations on the Big Island. So, and then Puakea on Kauai. So those are kind of our main locations right now, and we're looking to add a few.
Okay. What about the military affiliation? I understand you told me the USAA funding to support the kids with military affiliation.
Yeah. So they were fantastic. Late in 2020, we started talking about what we could do for families in Hawaii that had some sort of military affiliation, whether it was a retired parent or somebody from some part of military affiliation, and what we could do for those kids. Kind of an underserved group in Hawaii and a large group of kids there. And a lot of them live here full time, and a lot of them are going to be moved on and placed in new locations. But basically, they stepped up and provided a great gift to our association to cover membership within the HSJGA or one of the island associations, or to cover a first tee class. So these kids can basically come out and experience the game or continue their competitive golf journey at no charge as far as membership or registration fees go.
That would be membership and registration for Hawaii State Junior Golf Association or first tee, right?
Yep, and the Island Association. So we tied that in. So if you're looking to play Big Island Junior Golf Association, Maui Junior Golf, Oahu Junior Golf, any of those island associations, they're all listed on our website as well under this great gift from USAA.
That's great. And the website is HSJGA, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, hsjga.org. Matt Rollins, Executive Director, Hawaii State Junior Golf Association, thank you for taking the time out of your morning to be with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Danielle.
Absolute
aloha.
Aloha. Well, you know, I've been watching all the stuff going on, and this is over at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. There's always Bryson DeChambeau taking the spotlight. Rory McIlroy did so well the first day, didn't do so well the second day, wondering what's going on with Rory. Ricky Fowler made the cut and then just doesn't seem to be with it right now. We're good. Bob Herrig, ESPN senior writer, he's there. We'll talk to him right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club.
Golf Club tip number 25. Play for fun. Life's too short. We'll be right back with Danielle Tucker in a few moments.
After 35 years in business, Aloha Power Equipment is moving to a larger location. Now it's all gotta go. Shindaibu and Mariyama up to 25% off. Honda lawnmowers starting at $329. Honda EU2200i generators for $999. All fuel, oil, and lines 25% off. Save big on used equipment, unclaimed repair jobs, display stands. Everything must go. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale. The month of September. Come early for the best selection. Weed it, whack it, mow it, blow it. Aloha Power Equipment, Sand Island and Waipahu.
We are in Honolulu, and it is K-O-R-L, Y-N-I, Honolulu.
The Bayview Golf Course in beautiful Kaneohe is Hawaii's best value in golf. Perfect for a group of friends, business clients, a party, or a tournament. Try our new double-deck Top Tracer driving range, located on Kaneohe Bay Drive, minutes from town. Go to BayviewHawaii.com now or call us at 247-0451 extension 1 to book your round. There's good grinds and drinks upstairs. Bayview, your new home away from home. Check BayviewHawaii.com.
Got a disaster in your business, high-rise, or home?
Call MD Restoration, 24/7 emergency and disaster restoration service. We are totally COVID compliant. Floods, dirty water cleanup, fire damage repair, mold remediation, smoke damage, asbestos abatement, carpet and upholstery cleaning. Call 528-3434. We're also a licensed general contractor. Insurance company experts. Need help now? MD Restoration takes the stress out of your disaster. Get MD cleaned now. Call 528-3434.
Want more customers?
Renovating high-rises, whatever your trade.
Fill your restaurants, buy your cars, use your realty company. Buy insurance, air condition their offices. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club. We have quality listeners like yourself. We have ad packages that start at a few $100s. Email your contact info to rick@radiogolfclub.com. That's rick@radiogolfclub.com. Advertise on Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club.
Danielle Tucker's The Golf Club.
That's rick@radiogolfclub.com.
Our listeners are consumers, too.
Man, I thought that was in the cup. It bounced out. I've been robbed. Now, back to the clubhouse with Danielle Tucker.
Bob Herrig, senior golf writer for ESPN, attended Indiana University. An Evans Scholar he is. Welcome into the clubhouse, Bob.
Hey, good morning, Danielle. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Who's Corey Connors? What's he doing at the top of the leaderboard?
Yeah, you're going to make me scramble. He's from Canada.
Yeah.
And he's been around for a while, had a couple of pretty good seasons, just hasn't broken through. I remember, maybe his greatest claim to fame was a couple of years ago. He was the third round leader at the Valspar, which was where Tiger was in contention for the first time after he came back his back surgery. And Corey Connors was in the last group, and Tiger was in the second to last group, I believe. And Corey Connors wasn't getting a whole lot of attention. So he ended up not being able to pull it off. Paul Casey won, so he's been up there a few times and just managed to muddle along, keep his card, and sort of another, I guess, example of there's a lot of great players out here who can get it going on any given week.
Isn't that the truth? I mean, a lot of people say that. I don't know who that is. It's kind of like we were talking last week about the WGC, and it was like, who is this person? I don't know. I've never heard of them before. And the world ranking points, you know, sometimes you just don't know how they've gotten to where they are, being in those, the top 50 in the world and qualifying for the WGC, whatever event it may be. It's a pretty big deal. So there are oftentimes people say to me, who's that? And I can't answer. So I go to you and say, who is that? Victor Hovland. Is he always smiling?
Well, I mean, if I were hitting the golf ball the way he is and making the kind of money he is, I might be smiling all the time too. I mean, he's on the other end. He came right out of college, and it just, he's never slowed down. It's like it was no big deal to come out here and contend and play well every week. Pretty impressive.
It is.
He was there last week. He's seemingly in contention. Three out of four times he plays, and here he is again this week, just two shots back to start the third round. I think U.S. golf fans ought to probably get used to seeing his name and probably being a thorn in their side at the Ryder Cup. He's going to be a big part of that European team, I'm sure.
And I was just thinking of the Ryder Cup because I was looking at the leaderboard last night, and Martin Laird, Victor Hovland, Rory McIlroy, Tyrrell Hatton. Those are all guys we're going to be playing against in not too long of a space of time. It's all coming really fast. Tyrrell had a terrible first round, but he came back with a 67 and a 66 today. So he's up there, but everybody, you know, hasn't teed off yet. So he's not really as far up on the leaderboard as you when you look at it, T6. But we've got some competition this time. We do have some terrific players like Bryson DeChambeau, who do you think, what's the weather like? Is he going to be able to hit it over on six over the water and, you know, drive the green?
I don't know. It's a bit breezy today, and I'm not quite sure if that would help or hinder. You know, it would be fun to watch him try. I'm not sure it's real smart, though. You know, it's I'm not sure what you gain from it, unless you hit it on the green, which is pretty hard to do. You know, yesterday he hit it out to the right and hit a big drive, and he had 200 and some yards in, which seems like a lot, but it's not to him. It was probably like a 7 or an 8 iron, and he still didn't make birdie on the hole. You know, so you still got to get it on the green and do something with it. And it seems like you're taking some risk to go. You know, he obviously has no problem clearing the water if he aims farther to the right, and he should still have a short shot in. I think the conditions have to be almost perfect for him to try, you know, maybe a little bit of wind behind him. And then, you know, then he kind of runs the risk of hitting it through the green, believe it or not. It's like a 320, 30-yard carry. And, you know, if he carries that far, it's not going to stop. It might roll through, and now he's got to chip it back. You know, I do think there's some showmanship in him there that perhaps is leading him to think about doing it, and it would be kind of cool if he could pull it off. But again, I'm not sure it's wise. You know, you bring a double bogey into play when really that should not be a problem for him at all. Normally, just hitting it where you're supposed to.
You know, you are such a gentleman, Bob Herrig, ESPN. You said showmanship. I was going to just say, he's such a show-off to, you know, get us all hyped up that he's going to drive the green across the water. He's the one that made us all think about it. You know, I would rather someone say, oh, God, the wind is perfect. I think I'm going to pull this off right now. Kind of like, you know, when I watched someone, you go driver off the deck at Kapalua on number 18, and everybody was like, wow, did you just see that? I mean, that was incredible. But there wasn't a lot, you know, of talk prior. And
right.
he does have a way about bringing all the attention to himself.
Well, you know, he's talked about this, you know, weeks ago. You know, talked about getting to Bay Hill and getting it up par 5 that goes around the water and trying to drive the green. And, you know, he took a couple of cracks at it, in the practice rounds in the pro-am, you know, just to see. And, you know, I'm not sure he was able to pull it off. I don't think the conditions were favorable. You know, he was talking about not quite having the club head speed necessary. And, you know, he gets all technical with all the science behind what he's doing. And, you know, listen, I think, you know, people are fascinated by it. I, you know, maybe it wears some people out sometimes. I get that. You know, I think it's still a great example. You got to get the ball in the hole. And he's not, you know, like last week he wasn't in the contention. He shot 77 in the first round and was out of it. He did bounce back with a 64 in the second round. But, you know, you still got to play. There's a lot more to it than hitting it far off the tee. And he also runs the risk of putting himself in some danger when he starts messing around like that.
I completely understand about the showmanship, because these guys, the kids, are really, the pressure is on them. One of the thoughts during the day on Tuesday last week when Tiger Woods was in the crash was, well, okay, it's up to the kids now. You can't count on Tiger Woods maybe showing up. You know, there's no more talk about, is he going to be in the tournament to generate a buzz, right? Is he going to come back and win the Masters again to create the buzz? It's going to be up to these kids to create the buzz.
That's right. And actually, it's sort of a reality that golf has been facing for the last 5 years. You know, Tiger didn't play all of 16 and 17. Well, he played three times in that stretch. One of them was in the Bahamas in an unofficial event, and then he played at Torrey Pines, and then it went over to Dubai. That was it. I mean, he didn't play the entire 2016 PGA Tour season. He played one event in 17. And, you know, we had eight majors played in those years without him. And so it's one of those things where, you know, this has sort of been a reality in golf for a while. And the way you have to look at it is I think we got bonus time with Tiger in 2018, 19, and a little bit last year, you know, and golf, shame on golf for not making an effort to move on from him better. You know, even with him, he was playing a very small percentage of the tournaments.
Yeah.
And there's other stories. There's other players. There's other really good players. And, you know, Tiger, it's been around for 20 some odd years. He's once in a generation. You know, when's the next one going to come along that's going to move us like him? It might not be for a long time. And I think, you know, we sort of have to get used to that and recognize that, you know, golf did very well before him. It's just like golf did well before Jack and Arnie. It did well after Jack and Arnie. And it always seems to be just fine. But we seem to get nervous about the fact that, you know, because Tiger might not be around, things are going to be rough. And, hey, by the way, if I just saw that right, Jordan Spieth made a hole-in-one at number two. So he just went birdie ace and is one shot back. How's that for live play-by-play?
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Bring it home.
I mean, as I'm talking to you, I was watching a monitor. I'm like, is that on tape or is that real? And sure enough, the ball went in. And I don't know if you have it there, but he just jarred it on number two.
That's wonderful. Wonderful. Well, we do have it here, but not in the studio. So I'm blind, and you just made it real for all of us traveling around or sitting and listening to the radio. Speaking of Jordan, how close is he to being, you know, the Jordan that took everything, won everything, was counted on to win?
I don't know if he's close to that yet, because that was unbelievable, you know. But I think he's close to winning. I think he's close to being in there and emerging from that funk that he's been in for almost 3 years. So I think that was the first step, and that's what he needed. You know, he needed some confidence. He needed some consistency. And that had been a long time. I mean, he had barely contended in 2 years, let alone, you know, put together good scores. And now, you know, he basically had three really good tournaments in a row, wasn't in last week's tournament. Now he's in contention here. It's a great sign.
It is a great sign. I'm really happy for him because it's hard being down for so long. You wonder if you'll ever be able to get up back in the mountain. Another person suffering from that is Ricky Fowler. I mean, everybody's, you know, favorite person on tour, and Ricky makes the cut and then doesn't really do much today. What happened?
Yeah, well, he's been working through a swing change for the better part of a year.
Oh.
And you know, there is always that danger when you make a change, you're going to take, you know, five steps backward before you can even take one forward. And I think that's been part of it. And then on top of it, he had the misfortune of sort of his putting left him. And, you know, that's a bad combo when you're not hitting it great and your putter isn't going to save you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, Rick, Ricky has fallen. He's not even in the Masters right now.
Yeah.
You know, he's outside of the top 50 in the world, and he needs a big rally to get in. And it's, you know, it's a little tough to watch because he's been, you know, it wasn't that long ago, he's in the top 10 in the world. And now he's like 68th or something like that and dropping. But he keeps saying he's close. I get that. You know, it's not like all of a sudden he can't play golf. But there's a fine line between, you know, when it's 68 or 69 and then the 74s and 75s. If you're not making that key putt, if you miss a couple of greens here and there that you normally would hit, it's pretty easy for those numbers to go the other way. And it does show how hard it is to kind of keep it going. You know, he's been a highly ranked player for 10 years. It's hard to believe. He's 32.
He's 32?
You know, and yeah, you know, and also, you know, we talk about it all the time. He's probably not won as much as his hype, you know, for all the hype. He's not won. He's not won enough to match that. And next week is the Players Championship. It's been 6 years since he won that tournament. Great win in a playoff, and everybody kind of thought that was the breakthrough. And still, he's got only a total of 5 tour wins. You know, he hasn't won in 2-plus years, and yet he's been on all these Ryder Cup and President's Cup teams. He's obviously viewed as a clutch player, but he's going through a rough time right now.
He certainly is. I thought he had gone through the swing change, and he was just having troubles, and now it makes more sense. Because Tiger did the same thing. I mean, he went through that swing change, and it's like, Tiger, what are you doing, man? But he had the putter still, if my memory serves me. You know, he still had that. Someone else I find fascinating to watch is whenever I think he's about to come back, he doesn't. It's Keegan Bradley. Keegan, right?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, Keegan won. He won a big tournament a couple of years ago when he won the BMW Championship, and that was his first win in a while. And now he's kind of fallen off again. He's always sort of on the cusp. You know, listen, there's obviously way more that goes to it, but Keegan has not been the same since they banned anchoring.
Yeah.
You know, he was one of those guys who came up learning the game to putt that way. And, you know, when I look back on it now, If you want to make the argument that they should not have changed, he's the perfect example because he didn't take up that style to hang on. He took up that style as a young kid, and that's what he played with, you know, like throughout college in his early pro days. And then they tell you you can't do that. I mean, you know, I don't know. It'd be like me after all this time, they're telling me that I can't write a story on a typewriter. I have to dictate everything, or on a, you know, on a keyboard.
Yeah.
Like, well, how the heck am I going to adjust to that?
Yeah. Or you telling
know?
You,
I mean,
you can't.
I've done it this way forever, and for him, yeah, I think it really hurt him because he struggled to go to the regular putter. To you know, it's a completely different action that he had to get used to. And, you know, it's not you or me playing recreational golf. It's a guy who needs to make those 5-footers to be competitive. And it took him a long time to get used to it. And I think then it filters into the rest of your game. You know, it's just inevitable. When you're not making putts, now you try to hit it closer, put pressure on yourself to hit it close. Then you put pressure on I got to hit it in the fairway so I can hit it close. And the game snowballs. It's, you know, so. I give him a lot of credit for fighting through it to the degree that he has.
Bob Herrig, always, you know, fascinating talking with you. I look forward to talking to you soon because we got a lot of golf coming up in the next few weeks. So I have to knock on the door again. Bob Herrig is senior writer, ESPN.com. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks so much. Have a good day.
You too. Seals Electric has kept Hawaii's power on for more than 60 years. High rises, shopping centers, commercial centers, city and state projects, they've done it all. Have your project done on time, on budget, with a tradition of excellence and safety only Seals delivers. COVID compliant. Call 842-1944. Aloha Power Equipment's moving sale continues until the store is empty. They put power at your fingertips for everything. But you know what? The Honda mower, save $50 and get your $200 extended warranty free. 50% off the delivery charge, too. That's Aloha Power Equipment. Hawaii Pain and Spine, Dr. Jonathan Carlson. If you're in pain, you've been in pain, call Hawaii Pain and Spine. The number is 452-1379. MD Restoration, flood or fire disasters, you need help right away, 24/7. When disaster strikes, call MD Restoration. Restoration service, COVID compliant. Mold remediation, flood, fire, dirty water cleanup, they do it. And RCM Construction, 30-year leader in Spalding repairs across Hawaii. Their number's 864-9520. And of course, the beautiful Bayview Golf Course in Kaneohe. Thank you for your mana, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club radio show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on The Golf Club.
Copyright 2021.